In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We find ourselves in the period of time, the age of the church, after Pentecost, and even liturgically, we are after Pentecost. We are living in the time focusing on the life of the church, that is you and me, out in the world, outside of these walls, in our daily lives. Just as Pentecost sent the church into the world in order to change the world, we are called to continue that mission today. The words we say, the things we do, our attitudes, everything. Remember Jesus' last words of Matthew's gospel, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." And all of us are called to do that in some way, shape, or form. My homily today will be simple because the message of today's gospel is simple. Love for God must come before love for anyone or anything else. Period. So, man, I tell you, Jesus is not letting up on challenges, right? As if we don't have enough going on. But this is the life of a disciple. Love for God must come before love for anyone or anything else. This should be the attitude of the person who wants to follow Christ, the attitude of the disciple. Notice this is not the attitude of the world, the attitude of non-believers. But you and I are not called to reflect the world. We sign up for this. We take up our cross in order to reflect Christ to the world. Jesus is very, very clear at the beginning of today's gospel. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he's not saying you shouldn't love your mama or your daddy or your kids. Jesus is saying that the love that we owe to God is far above the love of any of God's creatures, which we are. Even love for our most intimate of relationships. You have to love God more than your parents, more than your children, and of course, more than yourself. We can't understand how to love these people if we do not love him first. Because, as Scripture tells us, God is love. So in some way, we have to learn to love love first. Now, how simple an explanation, right? But how difficult it is for us to live it. It means ceasing, first of all, to compartmentalize, making those little compartments in our life for our faith and then the rest of our lives. We have my faith is over here, my faith with God over here, and then over here is the rest of my life where I do what I want. I can do whatever I want. Now, that's not the way of a disciple. And you won't find happiness that way, only frustration. Having an authentic love for God, then, compels us to express charity, to do merciful deeds, acts of kindness and compassion toward our neighbors, who are also loved by God. He's created in their image and likeness as well. So when we love God, we actually love other people more, and we begin to truly see them. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once told a story about a destitute family who had nothing to eat for days. When news of the family reached Mother Teresa, she herself went to bring them some food. The mother of the family immediately took the food, divided it into two portions, and carried the other half off. When she got back, Mother Teresa asked her, "Where did you go?" She gave this simple answer, "To my neighbors, they are hungry also." Now, listen to this. Mother Teresa said, "I was not surprised that she gave. Poor people are really very generous. I was surprised that she knew they were hungry, because as a rule, when we are suffering, we are so focused on ourselves that we have no time for others." Isn't that true? She hits the nail on the head. When we are suffering, and our suffering compared to some suffering in the world is nothing, but when we are suffering, we don't think about anybody else often. And yet, when we have the love of God, we begin to see. Having that love of God in us helps us truly see around us. So Jesus really is setting before us one goal in life that is worth any sacrifice. And that goal is heaven. Union with God, uniting our heart and mind and will to His heart and will for our lives. Now, if that is not your goal, that's not my goal, then we are in for an incredible disappointment when this life is over. And it does end, and I say that not to scare you. It's just a reality we don't seem to like to talk about much today, but we need to prepare for. The reward of a life given over to God and obeying His voice, the reward is God Himself, the source of true peace and joy that lasts forever, union with Him. So does the love of Jesus Christ compel you to put God first in all things? Jesus challenges us to examine who we love first and foremost. A true disciple loves God above all else and is willing to forsake all for the Lord who calls us to follow Him. Do you truly believe that the will of God, that is the will of the one who created everything out of nothing and created you out of love, do you truly believe that His will for you is perfect? More perfect than your will for yourself. If you do believe, then take up your cross and follow Him to real life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.